With Fidelity Wealth Management, a dedicated advisor can work with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Plus, you'll have access to specialists in estate planning strategies. So you're not just growing and protecting your wealth, you're sharing it. More at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC. Welcome to the Jill on Money Coronavirus Market Update. It is Tuesday, June 30th. The first half of the year is almost over. I cannot even believe it, Mark. I mean, first of all, we've been doing the dailies now for 4 months. Mind-blowing. And we've been on some varying degrees of lockdown and at least being careful and dealing with the pandemic. It's amazing to me. As I continue to say, it's like time is going marching on and it feels like every day drags on. It's so long. But then here we are 4 months into it. It's crazy. And 6 months into the year. Unbelievable. Anyway, if you would like to offer your bewilderment, send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. askjill@jillonmoney.com. Okay. This is a note from Leo, who is 41 years old. His wife is 39. And he says, the question is, should I go all in on a Roth? My wife and I make $140,000 per year. We've got two kids and a mortgage. Last year was the first year we had the mortgage for the entire year, and therefore we were able to itemize our taxes. We have about $270,000 in retirement, of which $80,000 is Roth. Our effective tax rate is pretty low, considering we have about $7,000 in tax credits, the mortgage, and we have no debt except a new car, should be paid off in a couple of years. I can max out a traditional 401k or do the Roth 401k, but put in a little less. My plan is to put in about 11% in the Roth and increase it every year by 1% for the next 3 years, and then I will be able to max it out. Let's see, I get a pension according to an online calculator when I retire at 65. That would convert to $1.5 million as a lump sum. Okay. I haven't started saving for college. My oldest is 8. What do you recommend? I could split it half traditional, half Roth and max it out now and contribute $100 per paycheck for college. Here's what you should do. You should put your money into the Roth, keep doing that, and don't worry about the college stuff. I would rather you max out your Roth. So when you're done and you're maxed out with a Roth, then you might be able to consider a college fund. Keep on keeping on. I like this a lot. Okay, Jackie writes, hi, Jill. I love your daily show. You and Sanjay Gupta accompany me on my daily walks, which is very nice. I interviewed Sanjay Gupta once. I really like him a lot. Okay, question. Would you devote a show to how to choose a financial planner that's a good fit? Do I pick a large company with big fees? No, let's not do that. A fee-only advisor? What questions should I ask to find a good fit? I left a big company after 15 years because the errors made after my mother passed away. Went to big company B, and now I'm preparing to leave again. My savings are important. I noticed that two large companies didn't meet my needs because of these multiple errors. Thanks for your advice. P.S. For both companies, I talked to someone in their, quote, client resolution area who had trouble, quote, resolving my concerns. They're big famous companies. I've got $1.3 million. Wow, it's amazing. All on my own without my beloved husband. We are a little over $2 million together. I'm okay with him taking his money where he wants and vice versa. How to ask the questions to find a company that I can trust and get communications despite my gender, female. All right, Jackie, love this. Mark, let's send her a link to the questions to ask a financial advisor. Doesn't really matter whether you use a fee only or somebody or some other fee scheme. It doesn't really matter. It matters that you feel comfortable with the advice you're getting. I certainly wouldn't pay anybody a big fee just to invest. You should be paying somebody a fee for financial planning and a little investment management on the side. That's what you would pay for. Because otherwise, you could just have anyone do this, meaning any algorithm, any online advisor. It's funny. These big companies, they can be a little bit loose with their client service. That doesn't mean they're horrible. It's just that it's tough to find someone who's really focused on client service. And often I would say that that can be an independent person who has a special service department. But anyway, Carrie writes, "Hi, Jill and Mark. I love your newsletter and podcast." That's awesome. "I always pick up at least one tip every time I listen or read. My question is about taxes. I'm having mine done this week. My income is about $110,000 and I have about $35,000 in capital gains, and that puts me over the Roth IRA limit. Could you explain the backdoor Roth and any other tax tips for someone like me? Thanks and keep up the great work." Well, I mean, first of all, maybe what you could do is if you're looking at your income, maybe you could reduce the income by using a workplace retirement account. But in terms of a backdoor Roth, here's how it would work. You didn't say your age. I'm going to presume you're under the age of 50. The way you do it is you take $6,000, you put it into a non-deductible IRA, and then you immediately convert that non-deductible IRA into a Roth IRA. And that's it. It's pretty easy. There is a caveat in that if there are other IRA accounts out there in your name, it may not work. There has to be sort of a clean slate in order for this to work really well. Okay. Linda writes, "I love your podcast. I listen every day while riding my bike and social distancing. I've been using target date funds through Vanguard for the past 10 years or so. I keep hearing that a simple index fund is a better approach. I've done really well over the years, and I feel comfortable with Vanguard using these funds. Is there any compelling reason why I should switch to index funds? Here's more details. My husband and I are both 66. I retired a year ago, my husband 2 years ago. He's extremely conservative, so I had to leave his funds in a 2020 target date fund. That's around $600,000. My $300,000 is split between the 2025 and the 2030 target date fund. We have a six-month emergency reserve fund, no debt. We pay all of our household bills from rent we receive on a rental property. Other expenses are covered by Social Security and a couple of side hustles. I'm hoping we don't have to touch that money until we hit the required minimum distribution age, which is now 72, ladies and gentlemen. Do I need to move it into an index fund?" No. Why should you? Don't worry about it. Don't do any of this. And don't try to convince your husband who says he's really conservative. Don't do that. I think it's a real risk to try to tell somebody who says, "I'm conservative, I do not want to put any money at risk." It's really not a great idea for you to convince him to do anything else. You're in terrific shape. Ride this out and keep doing what you're doing. It's perfect. It's totally perfect. Okay, Gary writes, "I purchased U.S. savings bonds in 1990. I redeemed them in 2020, the year of the maturity, and opted to pay the federal income tax on all the interest this year. Do I have to pay estimated taxes in 2020, or can I wait until I file in 2021? I retired in 2016, the last year I had any federal withholding. For 2017 and 18, I had no taxable income. For 2019, I paid $42 in federal taxes. Thank you." You know, you don't have to. You can actually wait until you file next year. It really is fine. Just, you know, of course you understand that for everyone listening, when you redeem a U.S. savings bond, a double E or an I bond, all of the money that you've earned in interest builds up into the value of that bond. So you pay a dollar for the bond, but then by the time you redeem it, it's worth $10. The difference between the price you bought it at, a dollar, and the $10 you sell, that $9, that's all going to be counted as income to you. So that's why when you redeem these bonds, you get whacked with taxes. It's all the interest, which is then ordinary income for you. So Gary, I don't think you need to pay the estimates, but get ready. You better put the money aside to actually pay the taxes that are due. All right. Now, let's see. That's it for today. Wow, it's already Tuesday. Only two more days to my work week. I hope you guys are planning to take a long weekend because I'm going to talk about it every day this week. It's been a long time since I've taken a day off, and even longer for Mark. Mark, if only you could have the kid just like shoved off with someone like Auntie Jill to take care of that kid, then you'd really have a nice long weekend, wouldn't you? that just to drop them off here? That would be great. We could do that. How bad could it be? So thank you so much for listening. If you want to provide Mark with some tips about how to travel with your child, to your parents, to your siblings, and he's only going by car, no other ways, but maybe some coping ideas, do send us an email. Ask Jill at jillonmoney.com. Ask Jill at jillonmoney.com. Just want to remind you that every single time we put this show together, it is Mark who's doing all of the hard work. He is the executive producer of this show. He's the executive producer of my radio show. He's basically the executive producer of my life. So I always have great appreciation for Mark. Our music is composed by Joel Goodman. We are distributed by Cadence 13. Don't forget, wash your hands, wear your masks, maintain that physical distancing, and do something nice for someone else today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.